the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, confess our sins unto God our Father, imploring his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The lightnings lighted the world, the earth trembled and shook. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the glorious transfiguration of thine only begotten Son has confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of the fathers, and who in the voice that came from that bright cloud did in a wonderful manner foreshadow, foreshow, the adoption of sons, mercifully vouchsafed to make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and to bring us to the enjoyment of the same. We pray this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This morning's confessional reading, continuing from Luther's Large Catechism, the fourth commandment, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Here again, the trouble is that nobody observes and pays attention to these things. Everybody acts as if God gave us children for our pleasure and pastime, employees merely for us to work like oxen and horses, and subjects for us to treat as we please, as if we need not concern ourselves about what they learn or how they live. No one is willing to see the divine majesty has commanded our concern for them, that he will hold us strictly accountable for it, and that he will punish its neglect. Nor is it recognized how extremely important it is that we show a genuine interest in the young. If we want able and qualified persons as civic and spiritual leaders, then we really must spare no toil or trouble or costs in teaching and educating our children to serve God and humanity. We must not think only of how to accumulate money and property for them. God is well able to provide for them and to make them rich as he keeps doing every day. The reason he has given us children into our charge is that we might train and govern them according to his will, as he has commanded us to do. Otherwise, God would have no need of father and mother. Therefore, let everyone know that he is required as a matter of the highest duty and on pain of losing the favor of God to bring up his children in reverence and fear and knowledge of God. And if they are talented, also to let them become educated so that their services can eventually be used whenever needed. If we would do this, God would richly bless us and give us the grace to train persons to be sort who enrich the nation and the people. We would have good, capable citizens, virtuous, home-loving wives, who in turn would bring up their children and households to reverence God. Think about it yourself. What terrible harm you do if you neglect this and fail to bring up your children to be useful and God-fearing persons. You will bring guilt and wrath on yourself and thus earn hell by the way of you treated your children, even if in other respects they are devout and without fault. It is because people ignore this commandment that God is punishing the world so terribly. Discipline, good order, peace have broken down, and we all have to complain about it, but fail to see that it's our own fault. Our citizens are lawless and disobedient because of the way we trained them. Let this warning suffice. A fuller treatment of this matter will have to wait for a later time. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adoreth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as a garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. This morning's epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in that holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So far the epistle lesson. Rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. And then Peter answered and said, "Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias." And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of that cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face. They were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." So far, the Holy Gospel. We confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with hymn 135. Please be seated.
Thank you.
And good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, brought them up into a high mountain, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his clothing was white as light. So far, please be seated. Up until this point, Jesus had been living a lowly life. He walked and talked with people in his state of humiliation, and they were not moved. They were not moved to say in any amazement, "This is God. This is God talking," even after performing his mighty miracles. But here in the Transfiguration, he is seen to possess the fullness of the Godhead bodily. To the watching disciples, it was suddenly evident that the eternal power, glory, majesty, and holiness of God was in him. He was indeed the God-man, Jesus Christ. Divine glory, holiness, and majesty radiated from within him in his full power. It must have been an amazing sight. This sight so moved John that years later he wrote, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And also, St. Peter wrote these words, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellency of glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in that holy mountain." Another remarkable fact is, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with Jesus." Now, according to St. Luke, the subject of their conversation was what Jesus was to accomplish in Jerusalem. No time was wasted on small talk. They were discussing the eternal truths of Holy Scripture. They were talking about Christ's suffering, death, and his resurrection. The three disciples wasted no time as far as being overwhelmed, but nevertheless, they were confused. Peter, not knowing what to say, he suggested making three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while Peter was yet speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Listen to what he says. Here we have the assurance from heaven that the very essence of God was with Jesus Christ, no matter how lowly his appearance looked here on earth. The things that the Son of God came to do and finish on earth were of utmost importance. Over him alone, the Father pronounced this glorious word of invitation and approval, "In him I am well pleased." In effect, the Father was saying, "This, my Son, is to fulfill the law perfectly. His life, his death, will be the sufficient ransom price for all mankind." And then the Father also adds, "Hear ye him. Even as my Son has already humbled himself and will continue to humble himself even to the point of death on that cross, so I will exalt him and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." In this brief word, "Hear ye him," we have bound up the whole good and gracious eternal will and the purpose of God. And because the Father accepted his Son and the work that his Son came to carry out, everything that needs to be done for us is an accomplished fact. As Jesus cries from the cross, "It is finished," we know that nothing else needs to be accomplished to reconcile us to our Heavenly Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," that Christ died for our sins, rose again, and that we will live with him forever and ever. There could be no greater news. God the Father accepted his Son, the sacrifice, he was well pleased, and he has reconciled the world to himself. This morning, the Father speaks to us through his word, declaring us reconciled. Christ has made us holy and just in his sight. Just think about that for a moment. He tells us that we are saved by grace, his free and abounding love. He reminds us that we are saved through the cross of Jesus Christ. And in our baptism, we hear him say to us, "This is my Son, this is my daughter, whom I love, I am well pleased." As we look at our lives, our thoughts, we cannot help but marvel that Almighty God would call us his beloved children. It's unfathomable to us until God reminds us that he sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, that he sees us clothed in Christ's righteousness. He sees us through the cross and the empty grave. He sees us as people who have been freed and claimed by Christ himself. We have learned that through baptism, the Word, and through the Holy Supper of Christ, that we are his beloved sons and daughters. You see, you and I are actually right in the middle of that transfiguration, because through the eyes of faith, we have seen Jesus Christ glorified, risen, and is alive. We have come to realize that he is our only help and hope. He can succeed where experts fail, who can richly supply our every need, graciously share our burdens, and rescue us from danger. Every sorrow the believer has to suffer is sanctified, so that the affliction is part of God's divine plan for our spiritual strength and our ultimate happiness. We have seen all that he came to accomplish for our salvation. We leave this mountain convinced and believe his message, and we will continue to hear him. Knowing that Christ is our redeeming Savior, he himself has carried all of our sins to that cross, paying their guilt and punishment, removing them forever, and that through his death and resurrection, he has earned eternal life for each and every one of us. That all the devils in hell cannot keep our blessed Redeemer from us. May the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, keep us in this one true faith. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life heaven. Amen.
Amen.
us pray for our communicants, but first we have a prayer on behalf of Tom Peterson. The surgery was successful, and he's back at home now. So let's pray that it continues to be a success, giving God all the glory. We pray. Gracious Father in heaven, just a week ago today, we approached your throne asking that you give guidance and direction to the doctors that were working with Tom, that the surgery would be successful, and you have granted our wishes. For that we thank you, praise you, and give all glory to you. We thank you for the doctors that you have given us and the machines and medicines to take care of our physical need. But above all, we thank you for the great physician, Jesus Christ, who has taken care of our spiritual needs. We pray now that if it is your will, that the healing continues to be as successful as the surgery was. We turn Tom Peterson and the entire family over to your dear Father. We know that they are in good hands because they are in yours, and nothing shall ever separate them from your love. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love at the heavenly feast, which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our self-righteousness. Give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. And please rise. We continue our liturgy on page 24. The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. And now do we praise you that you did send us your only begotten Son, and that in him, being found in the fashion of the man, did manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of sins.
Thank you.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who went to death and forgive us of your sins.
Think about it, please.
May his body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to the Almighty God that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to see everybody out. Beautiful Minnesota morning. Just an announcement, no elders meeting tomorrow night. And then we'd like to thank the people who shoveled the snow off the roof. That's a big job. And whoever it was, I don't know who it was, but who? Who?
There was Tim and Jackie and Jeff and myself. I had a son and a grandson here.
Okay, very good.
Rick. Okay. The most important one.
Okay, thanks again. God be with you. Let's have a prayer for the food that we're about to receive. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, first of all, for allowing us to gather around Word and Sacrament, where we are nourished spiritually. We ask now that you bless the food that we are about to receive and those who prepared it. And finally, we ask that you protect every one of us as we return to our homes. We approach your throne in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.